undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick. First Lady Betty Ford arrived at the Capitol Rotunda a short while ago, walked to her husband's casket, and paused in prayer over it. Joining mourners who have filed past the casket of former President Gerald Ford all day. Here's CBS News correspondent Bob Foss.
Before the Ford family gathered, President Bush and First Lady Laura Bush came to the flag-draped coffin and bowed their heads in silent prayer. And the first President Bush came in a few minutes later. Former President Bill Clinton and his wife, Senator Hillary Clinton, came too. And many ordinary citizens lined up to pay their respects.
I was a big Ford fan. He was my first vote in 76.
Ford is unique among American presidents in that he was never elected president or Vice President. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
A national funeral will be held tomorrow, and Ford will be buried at his presidential museum in Grand Rapids on Wednesday. The Iraqi government said today that more than 16,000 civilians, soldiers, and police died violently there in 2006. The U.S. military announced today the deaths of two more soldiers, reporter Pete Gow.
The incident happened in Diyala province in northern Iraq when the two soldiers were caught up in an explosion. Over 3,000 U.S. service personnel have been killed in Iraq since the 2003 invasion.
Hundreds of Iraqis took to the streets today, especially in Sunni areas, protesting the execution of Saddam Hussein. In one case, they marched through a Shiite mosque carrying a mock coffin. They're digging out again in Colorado after another powerful storm that dumped a lot of snow. Steve Hamilton of the Colorado Civil Air Patrol says they're flying above to find anyone who may be stranded.
We'll fly over the area, and with our equipment on board our aircraft, we're able to relay their exact location back to our mission base.
Parts of Kansas got 30 inches of snow. There were widespread power outages in Oklahoma and Nebraska as well. Denver police are looking for the person who opened fire on a Bronco player's limo last night, killing him. Correspondent Lee Frank has that.
Broncos cornerback Darrent Williams was in a group of people at a nightclub where there was an argument, which police say did not specifically involve Williams. He was shot to death a few blocks away when somebody fired repeatedly at the white Hummer stretch limo Williams was riding in. Two other people were wounded. The 24-year-old football player recently said that during the offseason, he wanted to return home to Fort Worth to urge youngsters to stay out of gangs. Lee Frank, CBS News, Denver.
Houston ended 2006 at a 12-year high for the number of murders. The city's mayor partly blames Katrina evacuees, saying New Orleans had a homicide rate eight times the national average. Many of Houston's residents are now from New Orleans. Houston's population increased by nearly 150,000 last year. The 118th Rose Parade drew huge crowds today in Pasadena. The parade featured 45 floats and 22 marching bands. This is CBS News.
And now for the bonus round. What is the molecular number of tapioca pudding?
32.
Correct. If today is yesterday's tomorrow, what is Sunday?
Slightly overcast.
Correct. About how many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
1 billion.
Correct! Netflix! Nearly 1 billion movies delivered so far. Zero late fees. Choose your movies online and get DVDs delivered right to your door in about one business day. A plan that's right for you from only $5.99 a month. Netflix. It's that easy.
Time to get organized. Office Depot has great deals on a wide assortment of file folders, binders, filing cabinets, and shredders. Plus, over 800 calendars and planners. So hurry in and get organized today. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
This week, buy one, get one free on select plastic storage. Offer available in-store only on items of equal or lesser value.
A new study claims abuse suffered early on could lead to depression later in life. Physically abused children, researchers say, have a 59% increased risk. There may be a way to keep your hearing from deteriorating so much as you grow older, Barry Bagnato reports.
In a Dutch study, more than 700 older men and women with no hearing problems were either given supplements of folic acid or a placebo. After 3 years, the folic acid group slowed age-related hearing loss, not by a huge amount, but in an editorial appearing with this Annals of Internal Medicine study, University of California Davis hearing expert Robert Dobie says,
even small effects multiplied by millions and millions of people with a very common problem could be significant.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Another study finds World War II and Korea veterans with symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder often at greater risk of heart attacks. It's the first study linking the stress disorder to future heart disease. I'm Cammy McCormick, CBS News.
Why settle for another pre-made combo meal when right now you can get a Subway Fresh Value Meal at a great price? A delicious sub with chips and a drink. The Subway Fresh Value Meal. What a deal. Subway restaurants, where freshness meets value. Subway. Eat fresh.
Offer good on regular 6-inch sub bag of chips and 21-ounce drinks. Subway's registered trademark of Doctors Associates, Inc.
Get organized. Office Depot has great deals on a wide assortment of file folders, binders, filing cabinets, and shredders. Plus, over 800 calendars and planners. So hurry in and get organized today. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot.
This week, buy one, get one free on select plastic storage. Offer available in-store only on items of equal or lesser value.
Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Today we're going to look at the questions that linger from September 11, 2001.
On the world watched in horror. Two hijacked planes destroyed our trade center.
Well, maybe.
You better believe it. You better deal with it.
Well, we're dealing with it. Yoko.
I do.
Not sure what I believe. That's Yoko Ono's Give Peace a Chance 2004 edition. There's a new documentary that'll be released right after Labor Day. It's called 9/11 Press for Truth. And today we're going to talk with the two producers of this new documentary. They're not strangers to the Peter B. Collins Show. Kyle Hintz has been with us many times in the past. He's a co-founder of 911citizenswatch.org, and he's been very active in the 9/11 truth movement. I first met Kyle Hintz when I went to Washington in March of 2003 to observe the work of the 9/11 Commission. And I was profoundly disturbed by what I saw, and Kyle and I hooked up at that time. And have remained connected on these issues since then. Kyle, welcome back to the program today.
Thanks for having me back, Peter.
Nice to talk with you, and congratulations on the film.
Well, much appreciated. It's been a long road.
I'll bet it has, and we'll talk about parts of that road over the course of this hour. Also with us is your co-producer, Rory O'Connor, who's been on our program many times before. He blogs at roryoconnor.org, and the site is freshly back from a hack job. He is also co-founder with Danny Schechter of Global Vision and MediaChannel.org, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And tell me, Kyle, how you connected with Rory and how that may have changed some of your initial plans for this documentary.
Gosh, that's a good question. It was actually through Able Danger when there were disclosures last year that the 9/11 Commission had ignored the testimony, if you will, of two intelligence officers, a Navy officer, Captain Scott Philpott, and a Army intelligence officer, Schaefer, Lieutenant
right.
Colonel Schaefer. And Rory was on the case. He was looking at the issue, and we got talking one day, and I said, hey, I'm working on a film, and how would you like to take a look at it? So he said, sure, and I sent him the DVD and got a call from him a short time later.
Mm-hmm. And, Rory, when you first saw it, what interested you about the raw materials, video-wise, that Kyle and his team brought to you?
Well, first of all, I want to mention that Ray Novoselsky, is the director on this, and he deserves a lot of credit. Kyle and I have been helping out in any way that we can. Ray's original cut that Kyle brought to me, obviously it was a rough cut, but I saw two unique things in it that made it very special and stand out from, the plethora of 9/11 documentaries that I've already seen. One was that the book The Terror Timeline by Paul Thompson, which is, is the definitive research tool, was the underlying research behind and an integral part of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And the second, and perhaps even more importantly, was that there were exclusive interviews with the victims' families and their voices and the emotional resonance of having them tell the story and ask the questions was something that I hadn't seen anywhere before. So I thought that those two elements made the possibility of making a very unique and a very important film.
Mm-hmm. And I may have missed one or two, but I think I've seen most of the independently produced documentaries that have surfaced related to truth-seeking about 9/11. And this one impresses me on a number of levels, and I'll put it this way. I have been very careful in terms of friends and colleagues about exactly who I talk to about my theories or doubts about the official story and chronology of 9/11, because I find that some people are not prepared to hear about it. Some people write you off as a conspiracy theorist or, somebody who has slipped over the edge into some sort of an abyss. And this film, I think, is the first step, the gateway, if you will, that people who are passionate about trying to seek the truth about 9/11, people who are convinced that we haven't been told that truth, this is the film you should show to a 9/11 truth virgin. Kyle, your reaction to that?
Well, that's exactly what we set out to do. At least that's what resonated with me when Ray Novoselsky and his partner John Duffy approached me with the film. It was based, as Rory has said, and inspired by Paul Thompson's work and the complete 9/11 timeline. And I said, this is what we need. We need a true documentary, not a piece of agitprop, not something that is highly speculative, but something that is built on fact. Built on credible sources, and which tells the story of the families, and that's what I was able to bring to the project because of my work with 9/11 Citizens Watch. I had come to know the family members. I'd come to know the 9/11 widows because of the time I spent at the commission, and so I felt that that story needed to be told in its entirety. What people were not hearing was that there was a number of the family members who just were very dissatisfied with the 9/11 report, but their voices were really not heard. There was a gathering chorus, a rising chorus in support of the recommendations that the commission made, but very little scrutiny on the findings of fact, which, in my view, were terribly flawed.
Mm-hmm. And, Rory, it appears you made a conscious choice not to air all of the conflicting evidence, conflicting information, physical evidence that doesn't match the stories we've been told, for example, about what happened at the Pentagon or whether or not there were accelerants or other elements of a controlled demolition in the bringing down of the towers, all three of them, at the World Trade Center. Instead of trying to outdo Loose Change and those kinds of documentaries, it appears you were aiming in a completely different direction. Tell us.
Well, that's right. I mean, obviously there was no reason to duplicate what had been done elsewhere, either on the left with Loose Change, on the right with Unnated Soil. As I said, there's really been a plethora of documentaries, not to mention feature films, not to mention books. I'm in the middle right now of Without Precedent, the book by Tom Kane and Lee Hamilton, who, of course, ran the 9/11 Commission. There's a spate of media out there, but I agree with Kyle, which is that none of them really simply took the position that, hey, 5 years after this event, we still have no idea what really happened. But what we do know is what the official story says did not happen. The 9/11 Commission is the Warren Commission of our day. And as we know, the Warren Commission left everyone so dissatisfied with the obvious fact that it wasn't telling the truth that it gave rise and continues to give rise to a variety of conspiracy theories. And I think that the same thing is what's happened with 9/11. I think that that plays into the Bush administration, some of the wilder conspiracy theories. Frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them weren't put out there by provocateurs in order to discredit anyone questioning the official story.
Rory, I can't handle that. It's hard enough to open the can of worms and wonder, okay, if what we've been told isn't true, what is the truth? But to think that there could be, you know, kind of reverse engineering propagandists out there trying to pollute my mind with red herring conspiracy theories, I think my brain might burst.
Well, I mean, is that crazier than thinking that George Bush and company made it happen on purpose, as one theory goes? I would say no. In fact, I would say, given, you know, my 30 years of experience in journalism and reporting on things like this, it's actually quite likely that some of that has happened.
Mm-hmm. I can't dispute that. That's very interesting. Kyle, tell me what kind of reaction, because you've been close to the widows, the Jersey girls, for so long. They got to be spitting mad at the characterization of Ann Coulter of them as harpies, as women whose husbands were about to leave them. I mean, it's just so disgusting what she did, and they seem to have taken the high road because I haven't heard any real direct response from any of those four women.
Yeah, and I, you know, kudos to them for basically not responding. She doesn't deserve a response of these women. These women deserve our gratitude, and they have mine because of what they did. I mean, they didn't really have a political bone in their body prior to 9/11. And this administration had the gall to basically stand up and say, we must not let this investigation get in the way of, you know, the war on terror. And for 400, you know, odd days, this administration resisted calls for an investigation. And the family members and the Jersey girls, you know, amongst the most outspoken amongst them, you know, led that charge. And if it wasn't for at least the, I mean, it was a dog and pony show, as I've said many times, you know, the hearings and such, and the fact that initially they weren't put under oath. But at least we had the opportunity to scrutinize and to listen to what they have to say and see if it really matched up with the facts. And in many, many cases, they did not. And Patty Cazaza said it very well. She said they lied. They all lied. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the absolute truth.
We got to take a break. We're talking with Kyle Hentz and Rory O'Connor. The new film we're describing is going to be released in early September. It's called 9/11 Press for Truth. There's a website up already if you want to take a look, and you can also review the trailer there. And that's a way where you can buy the DVD. It is 911pressfortruth.com. That's 911pressfortruth.com. And we'll continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, get on the line now. It's 1-888-5-PETER-B. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Happy holidays from all of us at the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The holiday season is here again, and what perfect time to take advantage of the great selection and low prices of the finest used cars in the county. At ZNS Auto Dealership in Monterey, they've been partners for over 30 years. Located at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard, ZNS wants to be your partner in choosing that right car for you or your loved one. ZNS has it, whether it's a truck, SUV, minivan, compact, or luxury automobile. Open every day on Del Monte Boulevard, Monterey. ZNS Auto, where partnership works.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Show. Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know.
We're talking about the lingering questions, the skepticism that continues over the official story of 9/11/2001. And skepticism in some cases has been taken to extremes. And I think it's largely, if not, signally, related to the secrecy and the lies of the Bush administration. Because we are so used to the BS that it is hard to separate fact from fiction. And when, for example, you see recent things like the NORAD tapes coming out, the events last week, the security crackdown following the bust-up of the alleged plot in Britain, that raises more questions than it answers. The lingering health problems of the first responders to 9/11 who were told by Christine Todd Whitman that the air was safe to breathe there just a few days after the events. And now the 911, not 9/11, but the emergency tapes from the dispatchers in New York that have been released over the past couple of days give us new glimpses into what was going on. And while I can't give you a firm answer, and I don't think Kyle Hentz or Rory O'Connor could tell you exactly why things happened or why NORAD failed on 9/11/01, what we all agree on is that the official story and the work of the 9/11 Commission, the Kane-Hamilton or Kane-Zelikow Commission, as David Ray Griffin referred to it, I think accurately, we need to dig deeper. And Kyle, one of the comments I've made, perhaps too often for your sake, is that I compare the 9/11 Commission's work to a ditch witch. A ditch witch is this little device, and you set it to determine how deep of a ditch this machine is going to dig. And I feel like they set it to go about, you know, this wide, but only this deep. And they dug just enough to rehash what had often been reported in the media, and they sidestepped and ignored so many critical issues that David Ray Griffin wrote a whole book about it. Kyle?
Yeah, he also put out an article that documented, I think it's 117 or 118 lies in the 9/11 report. And you know, this is an academic. This is a PhD, a lifetime of work in academia, and he scrutinized the report and came up with over 100 lies. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think they went very deep. Like, they began with a conclusion. I mean, there was an account I read in a major, I can't recall the publication just now, but there was an account that described early meetings where they basically set out where they were going to take this. They began with their conclusion, and then they fixed the facts around that conclusion, and they ignored a lot of trails that might have led to different conclusions in the end.
That sounds a lot like the Downing Street memo.
Fix the intelligence, yes.
Yes, fixing the intelligence around the policy. Rory, you have a comment on that?
Well, I think it's time to fix the investigation. And one of the things that we and the families, in fact, are taking the lead on is calling for a reopening of the investigation. I think that is an action that we would like to drive people to, if you will, from this film. I mean, there is no doubt going down right from the very start that the Bush administration did everything that they could to quash an investigation, which is detailed in the film.
Yeah.
As I believe it was Mindy Kleinberg who says, we went into this thinking that President Bush would be our greatest advocate. We were amazed to find out he became our biggest adversary. So right from the very start, let's not forget, you know, appointing Henry Kissinger,
yeah,
you know, who had Bin Laden family members as clients for his own Kissinger and Associates firm.
Well, in the film, Rory,
subpoena power for the commission, totally ignoring Abel Danger, the fight to get people like Condi Rice even to testify, the president and the vice president refusing to appear, finally appearing together, not appearing under oath. I mean, I could
go on
hours listing the many roadblocks that were put in the way of trying to get to the truth.
And what was news to me, one item in the film, was that it was the Jersey girls who went to meet with Henry Kissinger who asked him the questions about his clients that made him so uncomfortable that he called the White House and said, I don't think I can take this job.
Well, that's one of the things that's so amazing about the victims' families and why we chose to, and we think it's so special that they are the voice of this film. Because they are amazing people. They are, and I mean this in the nicest way, ordinary people. They are ordinary Americans. They were housewives. They are mothers. They live in suburbia. Two of them voted for President Bush the first election. These are, as Kyle said earlier, they were not highly politicized people. They were not sophisticated about the way the media worked. But in the course of moving from their grief to anger and to questioning to anger and to action, they also became extremely sophisticated. And through their efforts, they learned how to use the media to put pressure on the administration and force what little investigation ever occurred.
Kyle?
That's exactly right. I mean, what they did was absolutely astounding, because here they'd lost their husbands. They were raising children on their own. just reeling from what had happened, and yet they picked up the pieces. They couldn't sleep in the beginning. They were just poring over the internet, putting the pieces together, connecting the dots that the media and obviously any investigation really failed to do.
Kyle, got to take a break. We'll pick up there as we return with Kyle Hentz and Rory O'Connor. The new film is 9/11 Press for Truth. Go to the website 911pressfortruth.com and you can order a DVD for yourself. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey. Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Down in Monterey.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that 3 men are 3 women to me.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it 3 more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You got to catapult the propaganda.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty 375-5100. 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm still your humble host, Peter B., 33 minutes past the hour. And our conversation continues with filmmakers Rory O'Connor and Kyle Hentz. Rory O'Connor, co-founder of MediaChannel.org with our friend Danny Schechter. And he blogs at RoryO'Connor.org, not .com. I made that mistake once. And also Kyle Hentz, one of the founders of the 9/11 Truth Movement, 9/11CitizensWatch.org. And the new film that they collaborated on is called 9/11 Press for Truth. That's 9/11 Press for Truth, and the website is up where you can read all about it and view the trailer, buy the DVD, 911PressForTruth.com is that website. And Kyle, first, what are your plans to launch this film? I understand you want our listeners and other like-minded people to host some house parties coming up in September.
Yeah, Robert Greenwald pioneered the house party concept with the help of the activist group Move On,
right,
and quite successfully. And he set up a system online where any filmmaker can take their film and find affiliate groups supporting who are sympathetic to the issues raised in the film. You post a sort of poster, the details of the film, and then anyone can go to the website. It's bravenewtheaters.com, bravenewtheaters.com, and sponsor a house party or a home screening of the film. You buy the DVD, it gets delivered to your house. You can send out invitations directly from the website, and in this way, sort of bypass the commercial establishment of distribution out of Hollywood and go direct to the people. And it's a sort of activist orientation that he pioneered, and so far we've got some 25 different screenings organized in the last few weeks.
And the DVD will not be available at Walmart?
I don't know about Walmart, to be honest, but it is going to be available at a lot of the major chains. Yeah, it's going to be at Barnes & Noble and Tower Records and, eventually at Blockbuster and others. So, yeah, it will be out there as well.
And Roy,
it is available now, I should mention, through the Disinformation Company. We've done a DVD deal with them, and I want to, give props to them because they're the first people to really come on and work with us very actively as a company.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you can go to cooperativeresearch.org. This is the site which hosts a number of timelines, including the complete 9/11 timeline that Paul Thompson put together. And you can do a pre-sale, or pre-order rather, of the DVD. Your card or paper won't be charged until the DVD is sent out. The release date is September 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're just putting the word out to the radio programs that I've been on before, and trying to align organizations that are willing to send out a blast, an email blast to their members, encourage them to do a house party or come to our premiere or buy a DVD.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right. Well, those give you a variety of ways: cooperativeresearch.org, 911pressfortruth.com, and Disinformation. Do they have a website, Rory?
Yeah, it's disinformation.com,
I think.
Disinfo.com.
Yeah, and I just would like to say that some of the places where we're having screenings, New York, D.C., Austin soon is coming on board, so Chicago, Indianapolis, Peoria, Champaign, Ventura, California, Ojai, California, Phoenix, Arizona. So basically,
Santa Barbara, Hollywood, a lot of Californians, San Luis Obispo. If you go to the website and click on showings, you can see the complete list.
All right, great. Let's take a call. We got Dave on the line from Humboldt. Hello, Dave. Join us. It's Peter B., Rory, and Kyle.
Rory and Kyle, I think you're doing a wonderful thing. Myself and Alice and several of us up here have been studying a book entitled The Inside Job, and also the works of David Ray Griffin. And the conclusions, if you connect the dots as a realist, lead you inevitable to say that the government is up to their neck in this. No way could Bin Laden have kept our Air Force on the ground for an hour and a half or whatever. No way could they have planted demolitions in the buildings.
Hey, Dave?
Yeah?
Let me just jump in here. Yesterday, you may have heard about this, a plane that was flying from London to Washington was diverted to Boston.
Yeah.
Because of a woman who we were later told had claustrophobia. All right. Yeah. Now, we don't know the details. There was some sort of an incident in the sky that alarmed the crew enough that they diverted the plane to the nearest place to land. And two F-15s were scrambled to accompany that jet to Logan Airport in Boston.
Yeah.
And I only point that out because this was not nearly as threatening an event, and NORAD knew that. And NORAD was able to get two F-15s up for a claustrophobic passenger, but it was bupkis on 9/11. Go ahead.
Yeah, in a matter of minutes, they got those two F-15s up out of Otis Air Force Base in Massachusetts.
And if they had as many warnings as we had about 9/11, they should have had planes already in the air, and that is ready to scramble in less than a minute. And they travel at twice the speed of a rifle bullet.
Well, you know, and that's a great point, Dave, which we hadn't gotten into. There were literally hundreds of what they call pre-attack threat assessments, or what we would call warnings, that poured in the weeks and months before the attack. And the NSA, the National Security Agency, alone issued dozens of warnings, and yet nothing was done.
What it is conclusive to me is our government has been stolen by psychopaths and there's nothing beneath them. They are strictly, how do we use the people to accomplish what we want? Great wealth and power for us. We're here to be used in extremes. So,
all right, Dave. Thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave.
Now, gentlemen, next I want to talk about the way the film 9/11 Press for Truth uses Paul Thompson's timeline, and this is a crucial document for trying to identify the exact sequence of events. And by creating the timeline, Thompson and others who contributed to it helped identify the anomalies or inaccuracies or shall we say, darker possibilities like, lies and distortions, that sort of thing. How did the Jersey Girls use the timeline to monitor the real-time hearings of the 9/11 Commission? Kyle, you first.
I think what happened at first is they did what Paul did. They would come across these articles as they would be spending time online, and they would print them out, and eventually they were put into a three-ring binders with dividers and the different subject areas relating to different issues or different agencies, individuals responsible for different the response on 9/11 and so on. And in a way, what they did was what Paul did. They did their own timeline, and so they had this. In the film you see like many of these three-ring binders that they put together on their own, and then of course, Paul. Paul put together the timeline inspired by Michael Rupert's original 9/11 timeline, and it grew and grew and grew, and then when the family saw it, it was a place that obviously made their work in scrutinizing the commission or following along with the commission's work a lot easier. And you can search entities, you can search dates. Every single entry is sourced directly back if the record is still there, if the story's still up online, to the original mainstream press account. And I would challenge anyone that doesn't think that there's a case for some funny business on 9/11, a case against the official story, to spend a half an hour with the timeline, Paul's timeline, and not conclude otherwise.
You can find that at cooperativeresearch.org. Rory?
Well, one of the most amazing things about the timeline, of course, is that it's completely open source. Every fact or every article that is up there, as Kyle said, is referenced. So it's not that you have to take anyone's word for it. It's that Newsweek magazine reported on such and such a date the following. Frontline said this. The Times of India said that. So it's a global online resource of everything, or not everything, but many of the articles and much of the television coverage. So what Paul's timeline does that all of the other media really failed to do is to connect the dots. Many of them had a little piece here, a little piece there, but the terror timeline is the only one that pulls it all together in real time, accessible at your fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'd like to add that we interviewed Ray McGovern, a former CIA analyst that used to prepare the presidential daily briefings, and he says in the film that because direct firsthand knowledge and experience, that 80% of all intelligence that is put together by the agencies and the analysts in those agencies is open source. So, in other words, we can go a long way just with Paul's timeline to make the case that the government has lied to us and deceived us about what happened on September 11th.
We can also make the case, which I hope that the film does, that the media was complicit, whether willingly or by sheer laziness, inertia, stupidity, take your pick. But the media was complicit with the administration, going along. This has been amply documented. Dan Rather saying that people in the media such as he were afraid of being necklaced for being unpatriotic, as he told the BBC. So clearly there was a climate of intimidation that was put forth by the Bush administration, and the mainstream media in America and elsewhere just fell into line.
Well, and that's where Loose Change and some of the other documentaries, I think, have been very helpful in replaying the real-time footage from the live broadcasts on 9/11 that do not match the conclusions of the 9/11 Commission. So I think that there's a lot of information out there. The toughest part is for people to digest and process it. Rory, I want to come back to something you referenced earlier, the new book by Governor Kaine and Congressman Hamilton, who co-chaired the 9/11 Commission. They are raising some doubts about their own work. They've acknowledged that they weren't tough enough in questioning Mayor Giuliani of New York. But they're never going to recognize their complete and total failure to reveal the truth, will they?
No, they never will. They obviously have far too much invested in that. And frankly, they were put in the position they were put in because of who they are and what they would do.
Yeah.
Given their track record, it's no surprise that they, were acquiescent, that they arguably engaged in a cover-up or they didn't look too hard, because that was their job. That's why they were there.
Your film includes a clip from the toughest guy who was on the 9/11 Commission, Max Cleland, who was hustled out of there faster than Who Shot Bob, because he needed a job. He was broke, and Bush appointed him to a $300,000 a year gig at the Export-Import Bank. And that was a real loss to the 9/11 Commission. Would you agree, Kyle?
Absolutely. I mean, he was very concerned about the direction the commission was going, and it's playing softball. The commission's playing softball with the White House, which kept foot dragging, and the commission kept compromising and cutting deals with the White House rather than simply subpoenaing the information, the data they needed. And they did that with NORAD, which lied to them and put forward, seven different timelines in the last few years. And he called it a scam. He called it a scam, and it was.
The other example that is just so vivid in the film is Condoleezza Rice running out the clock as Benveniste is trying very hard to ask some tough questions, and she just keeps filibustering, and it's very clear, real obvious, what she's doing. Gentlemen, we'll return in just a moment. Rory O'Connor and Kyle Hentz with us, co-producers of this new film, 911 Press for Truth. Visit the website 911pressfortruth.com to order your own DVD, and you can host a house party coming up in September to share this documentary with your friends. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Happy holidays from all of us at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
In Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you help this happen.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at the high levels of our government. And so,
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 10 minutes away from the hour. We're trying to wake up everybody to seek the truth about 9/11. There's a powerful new documentary being released next month called 9/11 Press for Truth.
Wake up everybody, almost been in day. Fall back for thinking, time for thinking ahead. World has changed so very much, we're used to. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
And we continue our conversation with Kyle Hintz and Rory O'Connor, the co-producers of this new documentary, 9/11 Press for Truth. And you are welcome to call us if you have a question or comment for these gentlemen. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. And Matt just typed in a question on my screen here. I think it's a good one. Kyle, where's the name from the film come from?
Oh boy, we went back and forth for names for months, and in the end, the director Ray Novoselsky, you know, came up with the name "Press for Truth," and sort of a double meaning, obviously, you know, the press and mm-hmm. the press for the truth, as in the verb, and it ended up our title. So yeah. It's not any big story behind it, really.
No focus groups, no
nope.
Market research.
No.
A lot of arguing in the edit room, though.
I'll bet. Kyle, I want to turn to you for a moment because we spoke 2 weeks ago when Vanity Fair first released its article with the online version that includes links to the audio tapes that have been edited out from the archives of NORAD on 9/11. NORAD is the North American Defense Command. It was intended to defend our airspace in conjunction with the civilian wing, the Federal Aviation Aviation Administration. And when we played back some of those tapes, it was shocking to hear the confusion, the concern that there were war games being played that day, and repeatedly when people were told that planes had been hijacked, even when they were told that a plane had been flown into a building, they said, is this real world, or is this some sort of a maneuver, a training session? And this becomes even more important when Governor Kaine has gone public, timed with the release of his book, saying that he doesn't believe what he's been told about the failure of NORAD on 9/11. So you published back on August 3rd a list of lingering questions that are prompted by the recent tapes and the narrative that went along with it. So briefly, if you would, summarize some of those key concerns that remain for you.
Yeah, I certainly will. But I'd first like to just say that I think that a lot of the focus has been on NORAD, as well it should be, and their failure to produce, to basically tell the truth about what happened. But I don't want to let the commission or the commissioners, the chair and the vice chair, off the hook here, because if they had a problem with what was they were being told and suspected they were being lied to or deceived or information was being withheld, then they should have taken action. They were charged with producing a definitive account.
You're right,
When
they published it, they said this is unanimous, and they tried to present it as if it had the blessing of every member of the commission, and no doubt, no questions remained.
And now, all of a sudden, this book has rolled out where there's growing scrutiny on their findings, and lo and behold, they're pointing the fingers at NORAD.
Mm-hmm.
And said it themselves for not taking this to the Justice Department and saying, there's a criminal case here. It should be examined. Instead, they kicked it up to the FAA, where it wallowed and nothing was done.
Mm-hmm.
As for the war games, there were multiple war games that morning. There was Operation Global Guardian, which is not talked about. This is a global war game, involved planes and preparations for nuclear attacks. There was Vigilant Guardian. There was Vigilant Warrior, which is mentioned in Richard Clark's book, Against All Enemies, foreign and domestic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, these war games were not elucidated in the report. There was one mentioned as a footnote, Vigilant Guardian. But the synchronicity of the multiple war games was not detailed in the report. And questions about who would have been responsible for setting up the war games on that date. One war game, which normally occurred in October, was moved back to September. And then the questions I raised mostly center around who would have been responsible for the war games that day.
Yeah.
Who would have been responsible for turning them off and saying, this is the war game is over, this is real world, and thereby clarifying the situation.
Mm-hmm. Very important questions, and they do need to be answered. Dave joins us from the Pinnacles. Good afternoon, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Rory O'Connor and Kyle Hintz.
Well, great guest, Peter. It's really just wonderful. You know, today I just got a letter from the Salinas Action League, kind of a peace group down here.
Uh-huh.
I got this commending letter for this letter to the editor that I wrote, and I was invited to go see the showing of your film over in Monterey.
Oh, that's great.
Hey, what I'd like to say is I just had the acquaintance here a little while back, a few weeks ago, of this woman that had a Brooklyn accent, and one thing led to another, and lo and behold, she has a brother that was a fireman in New York and one that was a policeman.
Mm-hmm.
And neither one of them believe the 911 commission report, and they believe in the secondary explosion theory. And I'm just wondering, is there a ballpark figure on how many firemen and how many policemen don't believe this 911 commission report?
I don't know about that, but Kyle, you can cite the Zogby poll that shows a majority of New Yorkers don't believe it.
Yeah, I was involved in commissioning the first Zogby poll back in 2004, which found that 50% of New York City residents suspected that U.S. officials, consciously knew they were warned and they consciously failed to act, that they
mm-hmm.
effectively let it happen. But I would say that, in all likelihood, that probably is mirrored in the fire department and the New York Police Department.
Yeah. Gentlemen, we got about 2 minutes remaining, and I want to turn to a tough set of issues, and that is that the 9/11 truth movement has attracted some great minds and some people who are really working hard and diligently to seek the truth. And it's also, you know, attracted some fringies. Kyle, you and I spoke a couple of months back about the New York Times coverage of the gathering in Chicago, and they wrote it up like it was a Star Trek convention. And how do we operate in a way that's consistent with our tolerant values that also excludes the extreme, the paranoid, and those who are frankly way off base? Let me start with you, Rory.
Well, you know, I think that what this film is going to do to if anybody who watches it is, first, they're going to cry, and secondly, they're going to get angry. And I hope there'll be a third thing, which is that they'll be moved to action. You know, Bob McElvain, who lost his son, says at the end of the film, in tears, "I'm so pissed off. I'm so pissed off at the American government, and I'm so pissed off at the American people for letting this happen." Well, the government we can forget about, but this is a second chance for the American people to make it right for the victims and for their families. So what I would say is more people have to get involved, more people have to raise questions, and let the chips fall where they may.
Kyle, about 20 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when it comes to sort of sifting through all this, you've got to apply standards of evidence and you know, and focus on where the case is strong, where the facts are proven out from multiple sources, and build a case there against the official story and for a new investigation. That's the bottom line, and yeah. I think with a new Congress, maybe we can have a new investigation.
Kyle, Rory, thank you for a powerful film. I recommend it, 9/11 Press for Truth. Go to the website, 911 Press, FORTruth. .org, and you can order the DVD.
.com, Peter, excuse me.
Oh, thank you. .com. Appreciate the correction. Talk to you later, Rory and Kyle.
We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
My pleasure. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Thousands, from the president to the cabinet makers, circled the casket of former President Gerald Ford at the Capitol Rotunda.
Did a lot for our country, and, you know, we've just come down to pay our respects.
Though innocent children might not grasp the gravity of the situation.
I thought it was pretty cool. I liked it.
In the Midwest, from Kansas to Minnesota, snow felt like a pile of quilts.
You have entire state highways where you can't see the highway.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Harley Carnes. At the Capitol Rotunda, footsteps echoed, circling another presidential casket. Thousands of people, joined by President Bush and his wife, Laura, paying respects to Gerald Ford, who rests where once Abe Lincoln also laid in state.
A steady stream of mourners came by on this third and final day that the body of former President Gerald Ford lay in state in the Capitol Rotunda, many of them greeted by two of Ford's children. President Bush and First Lady Laura Bush came by to pay respects. So did former President Bush and incoming House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. An Indian leader from Minnesota came in full feathered regalia. And average people lined up in the rain for their chance to walk past the flag-draped coffin.
I wasn't alive when he was in presidency, but I may never have the opportunity to do this again, so it's very special.
In the morning, Ford's casket will be carried from the Capitol and taken to the National Cathedral for the funeral. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
As the processions wound down for the day, Ford's wife, Betty, took a few minutes, knelt beside the casket, folded her hands, and she prayed. Then she placed her palms on the coffin flag's red and white stripes and slowly turned away. Now this message.
Okay, this is how I run my business. I put receipts at the front of the shoebox. Unpaid invoices go in the back.
But, hon, what happens if you drop the shoebox?
I might cry a little.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. Use QuickBooks. It's so simple you can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid you and who hasn't, and get ready for tax time.
Great. What'll I do with my shoebox?
Put shoes in it? Just throwing it out there.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
Time to get organized. Office Depot has great deals on a wide assortment of file folders, binders, filing cabinets, and shredders. Plus, over 800 calendars and planners. So hurry in and get organized today. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot.
This week, buy one, get one free on select plastic storage. Offer available in-store only on items of equal or lesser value.
Old Man Winter with a bad attitude. From Denver to Minneapolis, from I-40 to I-70, across four states, a dozen people are dead, hundreds are in shelters. Many have been stranded in snow to their hood ornaments. That's a shoveler in Denver. A fleet of small planes peers down at 15-foot drifts on highways, looking for people stuck and needing help. Polly White at the Colorado Emergency Management Office.
We've had some power outages, and folks are running out of propane, so we're sending snow cats out to them with extra supplies and blankets.
That storm's on the East Coast now, raining. Two more American dead in Iraq, even as U.S. troops raided a possible safe house for al-Qaeda in Baghdad, killing six suspected terrorists and capturing one.
I'm Pete Gowan, Baghdad, with the announcement of two more U.S. soldiers killed in Iraq yesterday. December is the bloodiest month of 2006 for the U.S. military, with over 3,000 U.S. service personnel having been killed in Iraq since the 2003 invasion. December was not only the bloodiest month of 2006, but one of the deadliest since the war began.
A couple of studies on heart attack. Veterans with post-traumatic stress are more likely to have heart attacks as they get older. And what about having a drink or two?
Drinking can increase your blood pressure. With that in mind, researchers set out to discover whether alcohol raises the heart attack risk of people who already have high blood pressure. Following 12,000 men with hypertension for 16 years, they discovered moderate drinking actually helped.
Those men really had substantially lower risk of heart disease compared to those who either didn't drink at all their entire life or when they got diagnosed stopped drinking.
Harvard researcher Eric Rim, an author of this Annals of Internal Medicine study, what's moderate drinking? 1 to 2 drinks per day. And although this study was of men, Rim thinks women with hypertension get the same benefit. Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
U.S. and Japanese scientists have genetically engineered cows that thumb their considerable noses at mad cow disease. James Roble at biotech company Hematech.
It is an important breakthrough because we have demonstrated that by knocking out the protein, that these cows can develop and appear perfectly healthy and normal.
In Japan, they've nicknamed them knockouts. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
And now for the bonus round. What is the molecular number of tapioca pudding?
32.
Correct. If today is yesterday's tomorrow, what is Sunday?
Slightly overcast.
Correct. About how many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
1 billion.
Correct! Netflix! Nearly 1 billion movies delivered so far. Zero late fees. Choose your movies online and get DVDs delivered right to your door in about one business day. A plan that's right for you from only $5.99 a month. Netflix. It's that easy.
Time to get organized. Office Depot has great deals on a wide assortment of file folders, binders, filing cabinets, and shredders. Plus, over 800 calendars and planners. So hurry in and get organized today. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
This week, buy one, get one free on select plastic storage. Offer available in-store only on items of equal or lesser value.
So, what do you say? You ready for another war? All you got to do is change the Q to an N. You're all set. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. We do this every weekday. I'm glad you're tuned in. If you'd like to call the program, lines are available, 888-5-PETER-B. You can also email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com. Last week, after the federal judge in Detroit ruled against the Bush administration in the ACLU National Security Administration lawsuit, we talked to James Bamford, the man who's written two powerful books about the National Security Agency, and he agreed to return to our program today to spend this hour with us to talk about a powerful article that he published in Rolling Stone at the end of July called Iran, the Next War. Jim Bamford, welcome back to our program today.
No, thanks, Peter.
First of all, just a follow-up on the NSA story. In our first hour today, we were reviewing the media coverage. And, of course, the NSA story got blocked out by the phony coverage of this guy who claims he killed JonBenet Ramsey. But what we did review was a two-minute clip from the ABC World News Tonight with Charles Gibson, where you were quoted. And where they brought on no, top electeds or other people to really challenge the administration talking points, Tony Snow and others, that this is just a necessary element of our national security.
Well, that's right. You know, you got to get your priorities straight here, JonBenet or NSA world nationwide eavesdropping. So I was glad at least ABC devoted a couple of minutes to it.
Yeah, the other networks, according to Media Matters, gave it 25 seconds about.
Yeah, it's in the business known as a tell as opposed to a story.
Right, yeah, an anchor read maybe. So I want to spend some time here talking about this article that you wrote about the situation focused on Iran. And you brought a lot of new information here and connected some dots, proverbial dots. What I had not seen prior to your article, Jim Bamford, is the connection between the case of Larry Franklin, who was an employee at the Defense Department, actually the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, and he was implicated in this case of passing classified information to representatives of AIPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee. And this really puts it in a context and a perspective that helps us understand what was going on, because honestly, that just seemed like an unrelated freelance type event, and I was unable to connect it. So let's take a couple of minutes here and explain the connection between the prosecution of Larry Franklin and his desire to goad the Bush administration into action against Iran sooner and, with more oomph.
Well, Larry Franklin was actually assigned to the Defense Intelligence Agency, worked for the DIA, but he was on an assignment to the Pentagon, and where he worked was the Office of Special Plans. That was the place that was run by largely by the neocons, by Doug Fife and so forth. And their main goal back in 2002, they had two main goals. One of them was launching a war against Iraq, which ended up happening, and at the same time they were working on pushing for a war in Iran. It was all part of this big game plan that the neocons had had for years, at least since 96 when they came up with this thing called the Clean Break Plan, which encompassed basically the same type of a war, except that Israel would launch it instead of the United States. So it was the same people, Doug Fife, David Wilmser, who became the Middle East advisor to Cheney, and then Richard Pearl, who became head of the Defense Policy Board. They all took their positions in the Bush Pentagon.
Mm-hmm. And Jim Bamford, you say that they refer to themselves as the cabal. Lawrence Wilkerson, who was Colin Powell's number two, first brought that phrase forward, and I thought it was a Powell phrase that was critical of the Cheney-Rumsfeld Office of Special Plans nexus.
Well, they apparently thought it was something that was apparently both accurate and also something that they enjoyed using, because they called themselves that voluntarily. It wasn't something that was put on them.
Wow.
But this cabal of people who were involved in pushing for wars throughout the Middle East, starting with Iraq and then moving on to Iran. One of the key players in that was Larry Franklin. Larry Franklin was the Iran expert. That's why they brought him in there. They brought him in there for two reasons. One, because he ideologically, he was very much a neoconservative, and he was an expert on Iran. So while they were, while some of the group were pushing hard on the war in Iraq, Larry Franklin and some of the others were pushing hard for war in Iran. And Larry Franklin, one of the people he connected with in there was Michael Adeen, who goes way back to the old Reagan administration,
yeah,
involved with scandals and the Iran-Contra affair.
Well, so, and let's hold off on him and Ghorbanifar, because that's worth spending some time on by itself. I'd like to ask you to describe that this occurred just after Bush's State of the Union address, when he laid out the phony claim about Niger and Iraq's attempt to get yellowcake uranium from there. And you describe this remarkable scene at the Ritz-Carlton in Washington, a meeting of Larry Franklin, Stephen Rosen from AIPAC, and Keith Weissman, who is AIPAC's Iran expert. And incredibly, you report that the entire thing was captured on tape by the FBI. Now, why wouldn't Larry Franklin know about that and be smart enough to, have a meeting like this in a car or at a metro station?
Well, I think they all thought that this was, okay. I think they thought that what they were doing was fine. They didn't realize that the FBI had been conducting a secret investigation of AIPAC since at least 99, maybe 98, something like that. So for a number of years, they had been focusing on AIPAC because they suspected AIPAC of espionage, basically, passing information, top secret information, on to Israel, which is actually what was happening. So they were, the FBI was focusing on AIPAC, and they were particularly focusing on Rosen and Weissman, the two people that were attending that breakfast meeting at the Ritz-Carlton. And that's when Larry Franklin walks in. They didn't really have any idea that Larry Franklin was involved in any of this until that happened. And then they taped the phone, breakfast meeting. They had a secret recording.
Mm-hmm.
And it was rather extraordinary because the AIPAC people, these are people that work for a lobby, the Israeli lobby, and they were proposing to Franklin that they basically he'd be their spy and that they put him in the White House.
Now, this is breathtaking, James Bamford, because when I read this, I thought, wow, if I want to serve on the National Security Council, all I got to do is get AIPAC to nominate me?
Well, that's what they were saying. They were saying, we want to put you, and this is the exact quote that the FBI taped, we want to put you at the elbow of the president in the National Security Council, where all the secrets are sort of the nexus for all the secrets and the national security information in the White House. So there were two reasons. One of them was traditional old espionage, getting information. But a second reason was, in essence, far more sinister. What they wanted to do was change U.S. policy secretly and covertly and illegally for their own purposes. And that's one of the reasons they wanted Franklin in there, was to put pressure on the president, basically, on the White House. And Franklin had the same idea. Franklin was disappointed because the White House was siding on its Iran policy more with Colin Powell at the State Department than it was with the hardliners and neoconservatives in the Office of Special Plans at the Pentagon.
Now, quoting from your article in Rolling Stone, unwilling to play by the rules any longer, Franklin was taking the extraordinary and illegal step of passing on highly classified information to lobbyists for a foreign state. Unable to win the internal battle over Iran being waged within the administration, a member of Feith's secret unit in the Pentagon was effectively resorting to treason, recruiting AIPAC to use its enormous influence to pressure the president into adopting the draft directive and wage war against Iran. This is amazing, Jim.
Yeah, what you have is a small group of people, the cabal, as they call themselves, working for their own benefit, their own ideological purposes, not that of the United States, but that of Israel largely, to push for an American war, a war, you know, like the war in Iraq, that it wasn't Israelis who were going to die, it was going to be Americans who were going to die. It was going to be a war that they wanted to be the follow-on to the war in Iraq. Again, you know, these people all thought that the war in Iraq would be over within a few weeks.
Right.
And we would put in Ahmad Chalabi as the president, sort of their puppet as president of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we launched the war in March of 2003. By June, we're all ready for a new war. Move on to Iran. I mean, that was the original plan. So back in 2002, 2003, when they were having these meetings, that was the way that they were working on this. They were pushing for this new war, the war in Iran.
We got to take a break. We'll return with James Bamford. We're talking about his article in Rolling Stone, 24th of July, 2006. As we continue, we're going to bring up names like Chalabi, you heard, Michael Ledeen, Gorbanifar, and some of the other murky players who are apparently part of the Bush network. That's all coming up as we continue. Your calls and comments are welcome. Toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Happy holidays from all of us at the Peter B. Collins. Just arrived. It's Carmel, a treasure, a first, a combination calendar history book with souvenir maps archiving Carmel today. Entirely rendered in watercolors by Lisa Bryan. Stories, illustrations of local businesses, dogs, and a brief history of Carmel's first Bohemians, including today's places and characters of note. This brilliant calendar and book combo captures the charm of Carmel, a special gift. Now available at Lisa's studio in Court of the Fountains and other bookstores and gift shops in Carmel.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with for the season, the first weekend in November, with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 22 minutes past the hour. And we're talking with journalist James Bamford. The article we're referencing was published in Rolling Stone at the end of July. It's called Iran, the Next War. And as we continue, Jim, I want to circle back to some of the characters you started to mention in the first segment. Michael Ledeen is a very interesting fellow who, as you point out, was a member of the cabal brought aboard by Douglas Feith because of his connections in Iran. And Ledeen has history back during the Reagan and Bush I years with the Iran-Contra affair. And it ties into some just great human beings like Manukar Gobanov, arms trader of some notoriety, and this is kind of a flashback to the Ollie North days, isn't it?
It's both a flashback and a flash forward, because you have all this going back to the 1980s, the Reagan administration. The worst scandal of the Reagan administration was the Iran-Contra affair, and the key people involved in it was Oliver North, Michael Ledeen, and Manachar Gobanifar,
mm-hmm.
who was a Iranian merchant, basically, who had been labeled by the actually branded by the CIA as a fabricator, their term for a con man. So that led to this huge scandal in the Reagan administration, and then all of a sudden, here you have the Bush administration, and it's the same duo, Gobanifar and Ledeen, that get hired by the Pentagon to get together and do basically what you have here is the same thing as you had in Iraq. In Iraq, you had the Bonifar character was Ahmed Chalabi.
Yeah.
And here you had Gobanifar. In Iraq, you had Chalabi bringing all these Iraqis who had all these phony stories to tell. And
are you talking about Curveball?
Curveball and all the rest.
Yeah.
And then you had the same thing happening in with regard to Iran. You had Ledeen and Gobanifar. They had the secret meeting with the senior Pentagon officials in Rome, where they brought all these Iranians together, and they all came up with phony stories.
Mm-hmm.
So you had sort of a dual track going on at virtually the same time. You had Chalabi and his defectors pumping up the phony atmosphere for a war in Iraq, and at the same time you had Gobanifar Ledeen and other members of the Pentagon cabal, pumping up for a lot of phony information for a war in Iran.
Some journalists have suggested that Ledeen was at least a contact for the information that came out of Italy's Secret Service that misled us into believing, or at least that the allegation was made about the yellow cake from Niger being sought by Iraq. Have you ever been able to firm that up? Is Ledeen the guy who brought that information to the Bush administration?
Well, no. He's got a lot of common denominators. That's what makes it so interesting. First of all, this all originated in Italy, and Ledeen has been an Italian expert most of his life. He spent a lot of time over there. The story first surfaced in the Italian magazine Panorama, and Ledeen wrote for Panorama. The story served a purpose, which was to demonize Saddam Hussein and encourage the U.S. to get involved in a war, and that was largely what Ledeen's agenda was. But beyond that, I haven't seen any direct evidence showing that he was the man behind the Niger documents.
Okay. Now, our listeners know about MEK. Larissa Alexandrovna, who writes for Raw Story, has been on our program and has chronicled for us the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, K-H-A-L-Q, which is an anti-Iranian guerrilla army operating out of Iraq. And her sources and others have indicated to us that MEK has been kind of reflagged by the U.S. and sent in as mercenaries into Iran. Have you confirmed that?
Well, that was what the neocons had wanted at first. They were looking at the MEK in the same way that they were looking at the INC, the Iraqi National Congress,
mm-hmm.
A group of Iraqi National Congress were a group of anti-Saddam Iraqis that were looking to overthrow the country of Iraq. And
well, one of the differences, the INC was something that was invented at the Rendon Group, a PR firm retained by the Pentagon.
That's right. That was the last article I did for Rolling Stone, was
mm-hmm.
Sort of the largest article the first really major article on the Rendon Group.
And yes, it was. It was fascinating.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I won the National Magazine Award for reporting for that, so I was mm-hmm. very happy about that.
All right, let's stop there. The break's coming, and I can't stop it, Jim. So we'll return in a moment and try to connect some of these dots and explain to our listeners how the pattern that led us into Iraq is largely being repeated, and the goal is to lead us into some sort of conflict with Iran. We'll pick up there as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open if you'd like to talk with me and Jim Bamford. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Toll free.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey. Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue they could be. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything's so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pill affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
We begin the new year by telling you what you're thinking. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Yes, here it is, first day of 2007, and there's a new poll already. The Associated Press finds that 70% of Americans predict another major natural disaster in the U.S. this year, and that Iraq will either get worse or stay the same. Plus 35% predict the draft will come back, and 25% predict the second coming of Jesus Christ, which actually could be good or bad. I would suggest paying close attention to his body language when he gets here. And yet, the same poll, which reflects all this fretting, also finds that Americans are remarkably optimistic about their own personal prospects for 2007. 87% feel good about themselves, and they feel good about their families. How do you explain this? Why are we so down on the prospects for the world, but upbeat about our own prospects? Is it the Cialis? No, of course not. It's because we can control our own lives, whereas when it comes to the rest of the world, we don't have a clue. And you know what? I talk to experts on world affairs every day as
You're
part of my job,
to the news.
And most of them
KRXA
are making it up too. Therefore, it is time for us as Americans, and more specifically as pollees, to answer as follows. Whenever pollsters ask us about something we can't possibly know, how the heck should I know that? Say it with me. How the heck should I know that? Here's another phrase you can use. I can't concentrate just now. Say it with me.
I can't concentrate just now.
Barack Obama's on TV again.
Barack Obama's on TV again.
Yes. Now this.
Now, you have a very unique accounting system for your boutique.
Yep. I designed my own spreadsheet.
Wow, looks complicated.
That's why I have a cheat sheet for my spreadsheet.
That is one big cheat sheet.
That's just the index.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Really?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
I'm switching.
Great.
Can you help me fold this back up?
I doubt it. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Prunetta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Prunetta of Prunetta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunettaRealEstate.com.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B. You can email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com. Oh, talk is dangerous. We continue our conversation with investigative journalist and author James Bamford. As I've told you, he wrote the books about the National Security Agency. His first was in 1982, The Puzzle Palace, and he followed up in 2004 with A Pretext for War. And Jim Bamford continues with us this hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Returning now to the narrative in your article published at the end of July in Rolling Stone, Jim, let's pick up with Michael Ledeen, his meetings with Ghorbanifar, and what Kurt Weldon was told about and then kind of exposed, because Weldon is a very conservative pro-military congressman from Pennsylvania, and I don't agree with him on much, but he has come to, at least in some circumstances, he has recognized that some of the whistleblowers, like Tony Schaefer with Able Danger, our friend Sabelle Edmonds from the FBI, and others, have important information that should be available at least to members of the Intelligence Committee, if not the wider American public. So in my book, Weldon is not a black and white figure, but he was approached, and there was a code name Ali. Tell us about Ali.
Well, Ali was the person that he said was his secret source that came up with all this information. It was largely looking at how dangerous Iran was. And again, it was more fuel for the fire of those who were pushing for the U.S. to take military action for regime change in Iran.
So people who wanted to fix a policy around some intelligence?
Right. If they wanted something to point their finger at as a reason for going in, just like we pointed our finger at the whole issue, phony issue, as it turned out, of WMD in Iraq.
Well, and apparently at the news conference today, the president actually confronted that head on and said there were no WMD, even though 50% of the American public believes there were.
Yeah, and just think how many people would now be alive and how much more money the United States would have and how much more likely would be around the world if he had simply let the inspectors continue their work and found out before we sent the troops in that there weren't any weapons there. So anyway, that's what Weldon was came up with a book, and one of the key people in his book was this secret source that was giving him this information. Well, it turns out, lo and behold, the secret source was a good friend and collaborator largely of Manager Ghorbanifar. Mm. The same con man, the same guy that the CIA had declared as a fabricator, that the Pentagon and Ledeen were using to push their war in Iran. So, again, you have this similar circumstance where you had the con man, Ahmed Chalabi, and pushing for war for his own purposes, and those of the neocons in Iraq, and you had Ghorbanifar and his associates pushing for this war in Iran.
And I'm sorry to say that Ahmed Chalabi will return to this sordid narrative in a moment. But you note that Ledeen notified the Pentagon at one point that Ghorbanifar knew of highly enriched uranium being moved from Iraq to Iran. At another point in 2003, he claimed that Tehran was only a few months away from exploding a nuclear device, even though international experts estimate that Iran is is years away now from developing such a weapon. So these are pretty egregious failures of intelligence being passed along by Ladin, and this is what is so consistent with the pre-Iraq run-up, that they were cherry-picking information, feeding it to Judy Miller, to Dick Cheney for reinforcement on a Sunday morning Meet the Press episode, and all this was very carefully orchestrated using information that we now know to be phony, and I believe they knew was phony at the time.
Sure, and that's what people are very well aware of the Iraq side of it, and that's what I was writing about here, was that there was this other Iran side. And what makes this Iran side even more interesting was that it was illegal. I mean, they actually broke the law. Larry Franklin has pled guilty and been sentenced to 12 years in prison, and he was the Iran expert in the for the cabal in the Office of Special Plans and Vice Office. So that's very serious, and the AIPAC people are now facing trial. They're scheduled to go on trial, I think, sometime in the fall, and Larry Franklin's agreed to turn state's evidence to testify against them. So this is, you know, in terms of legality, this is far more serious because you're having serious laws, espionage and everything else broken here.
Now, in addition to Franklin, you talk about Chalabi, who we talked about earlier, who was the head of this phony Iraqi National Congress. He's a guy who's been indicted for bank fraud in Jordan, I believe. And Chalabi was largely discredited and kind of cast aside when it became clear that we couldn't install him as our handpicked leader in Baghdad. And then there was this bizarre event in, it was in 2004, in May of that year, that Iraqi police and American soldiers raided Chalabi's home in Baghdad. What was the reason for that raid, and what were they suspecting Chalabi of doing?
Well, it's extremely interesting because here Chalabi was the person that the neocons have been grooming for a decade or so to be the next president of Iraq. It was going to be their puppet president of Iraq. And he was a person, you know, obviously he wanted that, and he wanted the war, and he'd been pushing, using a lot of phony defectors, pushing for it. Now it turns out the FBI was looking into him as possibly being involved, like Franklin, in a serious espionage case. The espionage involved was that somebody had found out that the NSA, the National Security Agency, had broken the Iranian diplomatic code, the secret communications or the secret encryption system they were using to hide the information they were sending from Tehran to Baghdad and other places. Well, somebody told the Iranian government that the U.S. had broken the code, and then the Iranians obviously changed it all, which meant that NSA all of a sudden went deaf on one of the most serious countries in the Middle East. And they were looking to how this happened, and they began focusing on, as one of their prime suspects, Ahmed Chalabi. Because he was very close to the Iranian government. He had a big house up there. And they found that he had a secret meeting with some of the Iranians. And so they raided his house looking for evidence. And as I report in the Rolling Stone article, the FBI was extremely interested in questioning him about his involvement in this. The problem was that the Bush administration was refusing to allow the FBI to interview Chalabi, even when he came to the United States. He came to the United States back in November of last year, and the FBI was all prepared to question him. And according to my sources in the FBI, they were prohibited from doing that because he was being protected by the State Department while he was here. And the State Department said they couldn't question him without getting the permission of his people, and his people weren't giving the FBI permission to question him. So it's a really bad situation. What the bottom line is, if the FBI is right, is that we got into this war by as basically a con job. The Iranians wanted to get rid of their worst neighbor, the government of Iraq, who they had an 8-year war with. It was their biggest fear, and here they accomplished it without any cost to them. They got the United States to come in, get rid of Saddam, overthrow the country, and make it safe for the Shiites, the Iranians, basically, to come in and largely reoccupy the country with a lot of the people friendly to their government. So.
And in one swell swoop, Bush got us mired into a situation that advances the goals of key enemies like al-Qaeda and Iran.
Well, that's the big irony. Here was the neocons, whose biggest fear was Iran, they use Chalabi, who all along may have been an Iranian agent, and ends up making the country, and actually ends up making both Iran and Hezbollah and the Shiites in Iraq all more powerful than ever when they started.
We're talking with James Bamford, and the article we're discussing is in the late July issue of Rolling Stone magazine. Jim, let me cite here your final paragraph, because I think it's important. The shift in official policy has thrilled former members of the cabal. To them, the war in Lebanon represents the final step in their plan to turn Iran into the next Iraq. Ladeen, writing in the National Review July 13th, could hardly restrain himself. Faster, please, he urged the White House, arguing that the war should now be taken over by the U.S. military and expanded across the entire region. The only way we're going to win this war is to bring down those regimes in Tehran and Damascus, and they're not going to fall as a result of fighting between their terrorist proxies in Gaza and Lebanon on the one hand and Israel on the other. Only the United States can accomplish it, he concluded. There is no other way. So this is very clearly, when we put your work together with Seymour Hersh and others we've talked to, Colonel Sam Gardner, Larissa Alexandrovna, it's a very clear message that the Bush administration has an action plan that they want to implement that would involve military operations against Iran. Now, Hersh tells us that the generals at the Pentagon persuaded the Bush administration to pull a nuclear option off the table, but it doesn't seem that they've even tried to persuade them to cancel this intended operation altogether.
Well, no, and the Bush administration has really geared up the military for a quick strike if they want to. They've got the military now on what's basically a hair trigger, so that if the president decides to launch an invasion of Iraq, launch an invasion of Iran, they could do it within less than a day. They could have all the bombers flying towards Iran. At the same time, they can have them air refueled and bomb the country and come back within the same day the order is given.
Yeah. And it just seems like very similar to Iraq, the breathtaking hubris, the arrogance of the Bush administration is that we can attack Iran and there will be no significant consequences. And I just find that mind-boggling.
Well, that's the fantasy. This is the fantasy of people who have spent their entire life writing memos back to themselves on K Street and writing long, almost unreadable treatises and think tank publications about going to war. People who have never put on a uniform, people who have never seen a gun fired, people who have never been on a battlefield. That's what these neocons are. They're the people who come up with these wars. They go and put them into operation, let other people die, let their other people get their legs blown off. And if it doesn't go well, they just get a golden parachute, like going over and taking over the World Bank, or like Fife going off and writing a book, or whatever. I mean, they to them, you know, if they win, fine. If they lose, well, go on to something else.
Jim, as we head into a break here, take a listen to this little music bit I'm going to play. It's from a new album by Michael Fronte and Spearhead, and it makes the point that you just stated. It's called Time to Go Home. And those who start wars never fight them.
Those who start wars never fight them. Those who fight wars never fight them.
never like them.
We'll go to the phones in the next segment. If you'd like to join us with James Bamford, 888-5-PETER-B, toll free. That's 888-5-PETER-B.
I can't recite them. And those of us who just fight lost, we live and die them.
You're listening to... You're listening...
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
God listens to Billy Sunshine. Maybe you should too. Sundays, 3 to 5, on KRXA, 540 AM, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar. Coming soon.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Show, and I have to confess that I lost track of time during that break. And I hope all our stations have rejoined the program by now. You should have. We continue with investigator and journalist James Bamford, the guy who wrote the books about the National Security Administration, the NSA, and we've been talking this hour about this powerful piece that connects a lot of the dots about the murky pre-war run-up. And we're talking about the next war, not the last one, the war with Iran. And, Jim, as you look at this, based on the recent experience of Israel in Lebanon, is the U.S. chastened at all at the idea that air power alone could prevail over Iran?
Well, I think that certainly was one of the key messages that came out of this Israeli invasion of Lebanon. They thought originally that they could just... the same type of misconception the U.S. had in Iraq. It'll be over in a couple of weeks. They thought that by sending air power only into Lebanon, they could wipe out the Hezbollah and the whole thing would be over without sending a single troop into Lebanon and be over within a few weeks. And all they ended up doing by sending the air power in there was killing 1,000 civilians, most of them women and children, and destroying billions of dollars worth of infrastructure, apartment buildings and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And when they went to send the land forces in, they barely got over the border. They could barely take a minor village, and when they did, it cost, at one point, I think it cost 25 lives.
And then, Bin Chabal, yeah.
And then at another point, after they left to take over another village, they lost that village. So,
mm-hmm. Well, that's the Fallujah strategy that's been so good for the U.S.
Right, exactly. You take it one day, and cost of all these lives, both U.S. and Lebanese lives in Lebanon, or else Iraqi lives in Iraq, and it only lasts for as long as you have the troops to sustain it. And how long can you have troops, having troop strength in every single town and village in either Iraq or Lebanon?
Mm-hmm. Jim, let's take a call. Dave's on the line from Humboldt this afternoon. Dave, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter and Jim, I had feared initially that we might not be in agreement, but as I'm listening to you more and more, we may be. I conclude that our purposes for invading and occupying in the Middle East is simply the fact that it is extremely profitable to this little PNAC Carlyle group that planned it out and deceived us into these wars. So there is no noble purpose, no noble intent. This is very lucrative to Halliburton and Bechtel and a few of the other General Electric and corporations that are profiting trillions of dollars out of the treasury of the United States into their pockets. That's their purpose. That's my conclusion.
All right, Jim, your reaction?
Well, I think it's less over oil than it is over ideology, because if you look at what they have been writing all these years, they really weren't focused so much on the oil aspect of it as they were on the ideological aspect of it. These are neoconservatives, and the thing that they were interested in all along was protecting Israel, putting Israel at the in the forefront. And yeah, I think oil was probably a factor, but I think it was one or two steps back.
Well, for me, it would be naive to conclude that the shift of wealth from the treasury of the United States into the pockets of this little Carlyle group and back to PNAC group is, I think that's not just a coincidence. It's very profitable to them. And that's,
well, I think one way to find out is by having a change in political parties in the Congress in November, and then start having some investigations.
Yes,
now, the problem is we've got a war going on that 60% of the people are against, and that was brought on by a lot of lies and deceit, and we haven't had one really significant investigation into this entire debacle.
You're right.
Thank you, guys.
Dave, thanks for the call today.
Let's try to get our hands on some honest voting machines and see if we can accomplish that.
Okay,
well,
Dave. Thanks a lot for your call. Now, Jim, that's the perfect segue here, because I noted the book review that you wrote for the New York Times that was published on Sunday. You reviewed the new book called Without Precedent by Lee Hamilton and Tom Kane, the co-chairs of the 9/11 Commission. I have not read their book. Is there anything that you found in it that was really valuable? From the review, it seems that they confined themselves to the problems they had getting documents, getting cooperation from the White House and other federal agencies.
Yeah, there wasn't really, as I mentioned in the review, there really wasn't much new in terms of the new information on the attack itself. At least I didn't find anything new. And I think, they had enormous amounts of time to look into it, and they put virtually everything they found that was new into the report.
Mm-hmm.
So what they focused on in the book was on sort of the backstory, the story on how the commission came to be, what the problems were that they were having, and I thought that part was very interesting, the parts that they talked about how desperate the White House was to keep them from getting anywhere, getting any kind of information. The person standing at the gate was the person who is now the Attorney General, and
right.
at the time he was White House counsel.
Well, and they had Zelikow there. They had Philip Zelikow there as a minder on loan from the White House.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, you know, the actual members themselves, you know, a number of them tried very hard, but overall they were largely a group of Washington insiders that weren't too interested in rocking the boat. And the most pressure for the most help they got in terms of pressure came not from their own members of the commission, but rather from the family members who had joined sort of a coalition to put pressure on the White House.
And Jim, in a friendly way, I'll just say I thought you were too nice to them in this review, because to me, their recent comments fly in the face of the unanimity that they expressed when they released their report. And also, they really aren't acknowledging the failings of the 9/11 Commission to deal with the put options, to deal with the FAA problems, to deal with the NORAD stand down. Even if you don't go into the deep, dark 9/11 truth conspiracies, there are a lot of issues that this commission barely touched.
Yeah, and that was a disappointment. And I think, again, it was it's the type of book that's written by sort of insiders, so they don't want to really offend anybody. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to create any stir up any animosity towards anybody. And
well, unfortunately,
it should have been a lot more hard hitting.
Fortunately, you don't have that virus. Thank you for your reporting, Jim. Great to spend the hour with you.
Well, thank you, Peter. I really appreciate it.
James Bamford here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for joining us. You can email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. It was a touching moment under the Capitol Rotunda today. The day of viewing, former President Gerald Ford was drawing to a close, and his wife, Betty, approached and slowly sank to her knees. She folded her hands in prayer, leaning on the casket for a few uniquely private minutes in public. Here's a man from the crowd.
I first came to Washington as an intern in 1975 when President Ford was in office. Just someone I respect. Didn't vote for him, but I respected him.
The state funeral is tomorrow morning, and after that burial, back home in Michigan.
This is Steve Futterman in Grand Rapids. Here at the Gerald Ford Presidential Museum, rehearsals have taken place today. Dress rehearsals by military personnel as they prepare for tomorrow's arrival of the president's body and Wednesday's burial ceremony. Right now, several hundred people have lined up outside the library to sign a book of remembrance for Gerald Ford, a young man from Grand Rapids who went on to bigger and better things.
New Year's Eve and New Year's Day have been relatively quiet days in Iraq, though that may not be the holiday that's keeping things chill.
Iraq has been mostly quiet today, probably because the entire city is celebrating Eid al-Adha. It's one of the most important holidays on the Muslim calendar. There are not many people on the streets. The question is, what will happen at the end of the holiday period?
CBS's Randall Pinkston in Baghdad says the worry is some Sunnis upset over the execution of Saddam Hussein may make some violent noise. We've been focused on the number of American military deaths in Iraq, just over 3,000 since it all started. Every one of them, of course, a tragic circumstance. Iraqi officials say 16,273 civilian soldiers and police have died just in the last year there. The vast majority killed by insurgents and terrorists, not U.S. or British or Aussie or other coalition forces. Police now think the shooting of Denver Broncos cornerback Darrent Williams may not have had anything to do with him, though possibly gunmen were after someone who was with him in the limo. They don't know yet.
Broncos coach Mike Shanahan says besides being an excellent player, Darrent Williams was a first-class young man who brightened every room with his smile, attitude, and personality. The 24-year-old cornerback was shot to death riding in a limo after leaving a New Year's Eve nightclub party where there was a dispute which police say did not specifically involve Williams.
CBS's Lee Frank is in Denver. People from Colorado through the Midwest are digging out from under big snow. At the Colorado Civil Air Patrol, First Lieutenant Steve Hamilton.
We're looking for any remaining stranded motorists who may be in the area in need of assistance. And we're also looking for any stranded livestock or any stranded persons in some of the isolated ranches.
That storm system, thankfully, has blasted right across the country. Raining now in the Northeast. This is CBS News.
Why settle for another pre-made combo meal when right now you can get a Subway Fresh Value Meal at a great price? A delicious sub with chips and a drink. The Subway Fresh Value Meal. What a deal. Subway Restaurants, where freshness meets value. Subway. Eat fresh.
Offer good on regular 6-inch sub bag of chips and 21-ounce drinks. Subway is registered trademark of Doctors Associates, Inc.
I actually walk to work. I run around a lot, you know, living in New York. Like to jog. I have been known to sleepwalk. I sleep with my socks on. Is that weird?
HisMatch.com username is Buddy20, and you can email him right now. Go ahead. It's okay to look. Whether it's Buddy20 or someone else, we're so confident you'll find someone special in 6 months that if you don't, we'll give you 6 months free. It's our guarantee to you, and it's only at the allnewmatch.com. See site for details.
So how's your boss? Do you want to punch him in the nose sometimes or buy him cookies and flowers?
A Florida State University study says nearly 2 out of 5 bosses don't keep their word. More than a quarter of them are backstabbers. The study published in the Leadership Quarterly says 37% of the employees surveyed say their supervisors failed to give them due credit. Nearly a third say the boss gave them the silent treatment last year. 27% say their boss made negative comments about them to coworkers. Researchers say that kind of behavior leads to poor morale, lower productivity, higher turnover. Peter King, CBS News.
The lights went off for about 90 minutes in Manatee County, Florida last night. About 5,000 customers went dark. Turns out a snake crawled into a transformer. Last place he'll ever slither. The power company got the lights back on, they say, in time for the New Year's Eve festivities. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Okay, this is how I run my business. I put receipts at the front of the shoebox, unpaid invoices go in the back.
But, hon, what happens if you drop the shoebox?
I might cry a little.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. Use QuickBooks. It's so simple, you can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid you and who hasn't, and get ready for tax time.
Great. What'll I do with my shoebox?
Put shoes in it? Just throwing it out there.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
Time to get organized. Office Depot has great deals on a wide assortment of file folders, binders, filing cabinets, and shredders. Plus, over 800 calendars and planners. So hurry in and get organized today. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot.
This week, buy one, get one free on select plastic storage. Offer available in-store only on items of equal or lesser value.
This is your humble host, reporting for duty on the Peter B. Collins Show, and that makes me Peter B. I'm glad you're listening, whether you're listening to KRXA 540 Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Freedom Yes, this program serves Freedom, California on a daily basis. We are also live on the mighty KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And people listen to our program in the nighttime on 1240 Talk City, that's KSAC Sacramento, and 1480 KPHX Phoenix. Wherever you are, whenever you happen to be listening, I'm delighted you're with us. And if you're here for the live portion of the broadcast, you can call in and talk with us. We provide a toll-free number, which means we pay for the call. 888-5-PETER-B is our number. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Email is back up and working. peter@peterbcollins.com. Coming up next hour, we're going to meet the Green Party candidate who is challenging incumbent Howard Berman, a Democrat in Southern California. Byron DeLeer will join us about an hour from now. And our regular weekly visit with Larissa Alexandrovna, managing editor of RawStory.com. That's coming up next hour, too. And in our third hour, that's when we open it up wide open for your phone calls in the free speech zone. Oh, and there's plenty to talk about. And before I introduce our distinguished guest for this hour, I thought a little incantation from the Gospel according to Little Stephen would be in order. The song is simply entitled Freedom, and that's Little Stephen. Before he got on The Sopranos, he was just a sideman for Bruce Springsteen at the time. And that is also part of the title and the theme of a powerful new book from Professor George Lakoff. You remember him from Don't Think of an Elephant. He is a professor at the University of California at Berkeley. And his new book is called Whose Freedom? The Battle Over America's Most Important Idea. Professor Lakoff, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pleasure to be back, Peter.
Always nice to talk with you, and I appreciate the work you've done on this because I have been uncomfortable repeatedly when George W. Bush and his clones have invoked the term freedom, its similes, and its opposites as ways of defining what I consider to be a deeply misguided foreign policy. And you go into great lengths here, and I learned a lot about your specialty, linguistics, rhetoric, and the language that we use, in the process of your analysis of the term freedom. So, Professor, let me throw a curveball at you. Yesterday, a guy exercised his freedom. He climbed into a big black SUV. This was in the Bay Area. And he started driving around running people over. And 14 people were injured. One person died in this series of bizarre incidents. And clearly this is a deranged individual. But he was exercising freedom of a sort, was he not?
Well, it's funny you should mention that particular case. There's a number of other similar cases. Recently, there have been something like four, many cases of forest rangers being attacked by people in SUVs, in all-terrain vehicles, and snowmobiles, who, against the law, are insisting on driving their vehicles in the backwoods of our national parks and national forests. And this is not an accident that there's so many more cases of this. There's a notion of freedom on the right that says you are free to use your property any way you want. And if you own an all-terrain vehicle or a snowmobile, you should be free to drive it in Yellowstone or any other park. Of course, the park officials and environmentalists say, no, if people do that, they will destroy the ecology of these wondrous places. These other guys say, no, it's my vehicle, and I can drive it where I want to drive it. now, and that's a freedom issue for them, of what's called a liberty issue.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out that conservative populism is based on such a notion of liberty, and it has to do with the difference in what is called in causation and the way that the left and right understand even what a cause is.
Right.
So that causation has everything to do with freedom. Part of freedom has to do with not affecting the freedom of other people. And, you know, these guys in the national parks are saying, well, you know, it's just my snowmobile. I'm not doing anything to the ecology of the parks. It's just me.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that that is a conservative way of thinking about causation as individual responsibility for causal acts. The opposite is true when you go to the notion of freedom and causation for progressives. Progressives think of causation in sort of global systemic terms.
Right.
You know, that is, if people drive snowmobiles in Yellowstone, they'll destroy the ecology. This issue comes up again and again. There was a case outside of Portland. Portland had a no sprawl zone outside of Portland that was kept open by law. And somebody inherited the family farm and wanted to sell it to a developer. And he said, well, my freedom is being imposed on. I can, it's my property, I can sell my farm. It's
mm-hmm.
one act.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this kind of difference between systemic causation, the idea that you've got to have a system of laws to keep open zones open, and private property is one manifestation of this big difference, and it shows up in who is imposing on whose freedom. Is the farmer, the owner of the farm, selling his farm to developers, imposing on the freedom of people to just drive in open country?
And Professor, to take your example of those who want to drive their ATVs and snowmobiles in national parks, the extension of that on the conservative side is the wise use or dominion movement, and they basically argue that humans need to use up the earth so that we can bring on the end times, and that this is God's will. And this drives at another theme in your book about the way the strict father model of conservatives is employed, linked to religion, as a way to deny freedom to others.
Well, that's exactly right. If you say, what is meant by freedom of religion on the right? And what they call religious liberty. If you go to Jerry Falwell's website, it's all about liberty. His university is called Liberty University.
Yeah.
Well, what does religious liberty mean? Well, he looks at the part of the Constitution that talks about freedom of religion, and he calls that freedom to practice your religion. They always use the word practice. Now, if you're an evangelical fundamentalist, what does that mean? If you're an evangelical, it means you have to, as part of your practice, spread the good news. If you're a fundamentalist, it is the good news of the absolute truth of the Bible, as interpreted by Jerry Falwell and company. Now, that says freedom of speech allows you to practice your religion by proselytizing publicly.
Yeah, share the good news.
Share the good news. Put up the Ten Commandments in your courtroom, etc. But there's another part of this. In general, freedom, the idea of freedom says you're not free to impose on other people's freedom. So if you're free to walk down the street, that's fine. You're not free to walk down the street and tie up somebody else.
And you're not free to run people over with your SUV.
And you're not free. Exactly. Exactly right. You know, and that's part of the meaning of freedom. Well, it turns out that the other religion clause in the Constitution says that the government cannot set up a state religion.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is that it cannot impose its any religion on other people. And that is exactly what fall well and others are doing when they're trying to get rid of the separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
That is, they're trying to impose their religion on the rest of us. But they only talk about the first clause, the freedom to practice your religion.
Right. Professor, we'll take a break and return. We're talking with George Lakoff from the University of California at Berkeley, also the founder of the Rock Ridge Institute. Go to rockridgeinstitute.org and find some of the recent papers and commentaries of Dr. Lakoff and his staff. If you have a question or comment, bring it forward this hour. He's with us until the end of the hour. You can call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You are free to call because you have that freedom. 888-5-PETER-B. The new book is called Whose Freedom? The Battle Over America's Most Important Idea. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his
progressive talk for Monterey,
Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
The most important aspect of good
dentistry takes place
long before you open your mouth.
Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki.
You're listening
are
to the new
courteous and
KRXA
540. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
The days of wine and roses.
The fastest growing disease in America is addiction. It's time we talk about it openly. This is Sheila Gale. Join me Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 for 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addiction. It's about time.
There before. Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Thank you. Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. And the Peter B. Collins Show continues, 21 minutes past the hour. Our guest for this hour is Professor George Lakoff from the University of California at Berkeley. And he is a professor of cognitive science and linguistics at UC Berkeley. Also the founder and senior fellow at the Rock Ridge Institute, as we mentioned. And his powerful new book, I think, is a must-read for those of us on the left. It's called Whose Freedom? The Battle Over America's Most Important Idea. And, Professor, in the opening pages of the book, you remark about George W. Bush's speech at the Republican convention, his acceptance speech in 2004, where he used the words freedom, free, and liberty constantly 49 times in a 20-minute speech. And let me read just a paragraph or so from your kind of reaction to that, a series of questions. How can Bush mean anything by freedom when he works against FDR's four freedoms, freedom of speech and religion and freedom from want and fear? His policies work against freedom from want by pushing more Americans into poverty, by denying even a minuscule increase in the minimum wage, by seeking to end Social Security, by promoting a siege mentality, announcing orange alerts and talking relentlessly about terror. He creates and maintains a sense of fear, virtually a permanent state of emergency rather than offering freedom from fear. The USA Patriot Act, passed at the height of this fear, provides new police powers to the government, abridging personal freedoms. He works against freedom of speech by encouraging media consolidation, spying on telephone calls, having the IRS threaten the tax status of groups that speak out against him, by requiring attendees at his public speeches to sign oaths of loyalty to him, and by classifying more government documents than any other recent administration. Your list goes on, but I think the point is clear here. George W. Bush uses the term freedom even though his actions often are the antithesis. And this is a common thing that we're seeing now. The word fascism is being trotted out by Bush and other Republicans, and there are many of us who believe that we are creeping toward fascism in this country.
Well, it's a very interesting question that's come up here. When Bush spies on tens of millions of Americans, when he's free to do that and declares himself independent of our laws, he says he's doing it to keep us free, to protect our freedom. And we have a very different idea of what freedom is, that it's an imposition on our freedom. Now, the one question that always arises is, what is the tradition of America's freedom? What has been the traditional idea of freedom? And it turns out to be the progressive idea, not the conservative idea. Freedom is what's called a contested concept, where different people have different ideas of freedom, depending on their values. And the way to see that it's the progressive view of freedom that is traditional in America is to ask, what have Americans insisted upon in the area of expanding freedom? Which notions of freedom have been expanded? For example, right now, we don't have Americans insisting that we have more spying to protect our freedom. Not there. We have plenty of people insisting that we have more personal freedom by requiring that the president follow the law. In addition to that, if you look at history, what you find out is that in voting rights, for example, Americans have insisted on their expansion. That is, it's an expansion of freedom. It used to be only white male property owners could vote, and now we've extended that, first getting rid of the constraint of property ownership, then whiteness, and then maleness. Civil rights have been extended because we've insisted on it. Education, which is the freedom of access to both opportunity and to knowledge, is an issue of freedom, and we've insisted on the expansion of education from third grade to eighth grade to 12th grade, mm-hmm. to college, and so on. Workers' rights, we've insisted on those expansions. Now we have weekends. We didn't used to. We
right.
have 8-hour days. We didn't used to. We have worker protection laws and so on. in area after area, the public has insisted on an expansion of freedom, and these are all progressive ideas of freedom, not mm-hmm. conservative ideas of freedom.
And, Professor, in the book, one thing that I learned was the way you describe how humans communicate and how important metaphors are in that communication. And when it comes to the term freedom, you write, the metaphor of freedom as freedom of motion has two important parts, freedom from and freedom to. Freedom from those concerns that can keep you from moving. Freedom to concerns making sure there is access. Thus, you might be mentally or psychologically blocked, emotionally powerless or threatened, or lack the access that education and knowledge provide for achievement. And this metaphor of freedom as being able to move around freely is linked to American mythology, is it not?
Very, very deeply. Physical idea, physical freedom, is visceral. It's in your body. And the idea of being able to move freely, to have highways, to have Western expansion, to move from place to place physically, is deep in our history and in our culture, and it has to do with physical freedom, freedom to move. But that is the basis of a metaphor, and one of the most important and profound of all metaphors. That is universal. In particular, it says that achieving a purpose is reaching a destination or getting some desired object. That is, you reach a goal, and so on. Well, notice that that's about freedom, and someone can keep you from reaching your goals, that is, impede your freedoms, in various ways. They can block access, they can hold you back, or they can take away your resources. And all of those are impositions on freedom. The freedom from is freedom from people keeping you from doing that. Freedom to is having the ability and the resources and the access to do something. And both of those show up in our notions of freedom.
Professor, let's stop for a break here. We'll continue with George Lakoff in just a moment. Whose Freedom? The book, subtitled The Battle Over America's Most Important Idea. Your calls and questions are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the word and the concept of freedom. The new book by Professor George Lakoff is Whose Freedom? The Battle Over America's Most Important Idea. It's a must-read for progressives and people who still use the term liberal. Well, as long as it's free, we will. And Professor Lakoff, I reference the term liberal. It's poisoned. And in the radio business now, we call ourselves progressives because we've learned through market research that the term liberal turns a lot of people off, misleads others, and essentially it's been neutralized or neutered by a consistent and very thoughtful attack from the right. Is your goal in this book trying to keep the same thing from happening to the term freedom?
Definitely. Freedom is being taken over by the right. It's the watchword of the right. Freedom and liberty, especially liberty by populists on the right. And when was the last time that you heard progressives talking about freedom? You know, they just don't, and they should, because it's our word. All of our ideas, our most fundamental ideas, are around freedom. Everything we believe supports the view of freedom that is traditional in America, which is progressive freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And conservatives are trying to change that idea in a very radical way.
And Professor, in self-examination, I will acknowledge, I don't ever really talk about freedom as a concept. We talk about the way freedom is under siege. We talk about the NSA wiretaps, the data mining, other types of surveillance. But we generally talk about it not in the abstract, but in the negative.
In the negative and not in the positive, not in terms of the progressive view of freedom and why it is what has defined our country.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely important that we start doing that once again. When the country was formed, freedom was the idea, the most important idea. And it was what changed us tremendously from ideas that were there in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
This is extremely vital in America and American life, and we have to take back the idea of freedom, and we have to understand it. What my book is really exactly what the differences are between a progressive idea of freedom and a conservative idea of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And they're radically, radically different.
Yeah. And I want to take a phone call, and then I want to ask you to define and contrast the progressive and conservative approach to that same concept of freedom. First up, we have Xavier in Santa Cruz. Hello, Xavier. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Professor George Lakoff.
Hi, Peter. Hi, George.
Hi.
Yeah, George, I've got, not your current book, but I've got a DVD and a book, Don't Think of an Elephant, I think it was called.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I found it very useful. I was involved with a group that was actually trying to get more support for Democrats around the country. And one of the things, I'm glad I got you on here, is that a question that I have, in that last book, you had mentioned about the nurturing family and the punishing. I don't remember the exact word, but
it's the strict father,
yeah,
model and the nurturant father or nurturant parent model.
And I've called into this show before, and I don't want to kind of seem to be like on a single issue, but I feel like I got dismissed last time, and I want to get somebody to comment on this.
All right, we respect your point of view, Xavier. I understand.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Last time you said something about having having a drum circle or something. I just felt like I got dismissed. But my concern is that we're not including men in the Democratic Party. There's this kind of very subliminal kind of a message that men are cannon fodder. That there's, you know, women and children can be killed, but men are somehow less than. And I'm wanting to, that comment that you made about we have a family. Can be nurturing, but the father is the one that's always thought of as the strict one. And I wanted you to address that if you could.
All right. And Xavier, I'm going to drop your call. It's
okay.
Kind of a noisy line, but we'll ask the professor to comment.
Okay.
Go ahead, sir.
And that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that there are two very different understandings of the family, and that we understand the family as the basis of a metaphorical understanding of the nation. There's a good reason for this. Think of your experience with government. What is your oldest experience with governance? It's in your family. Now, it turns out there are very different kinds of families, and the major models, ideal models that we have are one, a nurturant family, where both parents are equally responsible, both father and mother, where their job is to empathize with their child, to connect with their child, to understand them, to feel what they feel, and to be responsible both for themselves and for their children, and then to raise their children to care about others and to be responsible for themselves and others. From that idea applied to the nation, you get the idea of citizens as siblings, as brothers and sisters in a nation, of a government that cares about its people. This is FDR's central idea, that government cares about its citizens and is responsible for watching out for them. That is a major, major change in government that occurred in FDR, and it's the basis of present-day progressivism, but it's an idea that went back a long way, that the government was there for its citizens. That's why we have it. The other idea is that you have a strict father family where the father is protecting the family from evil, winning competitions to support the family, and teaching his children right from wrong by strict punishment whenever they do something wrong. The idea being that if they're punished painfully enough, they'll try to avoid the punishment by disciplining themselves, by getting an internal discipline to do right, not wrong. And if they get that discipline, then they will be able to go out in the free market and become prosperous, which is their reward for being disciplined and moral.
Mm-hmm.
That's the basic idea of a strict father family, and that applies to government. These two models apply to government in utterly different ways. Take social programs. In the progressive model, social programs systems are there to help people who need help so that they can then help themselves, so they can do other things. What is taxation about? Taxation is there to put together the commonwealth to build an infrastructure that we all use. Mm-hmm. For example, the highway system, the internet, the satellite system, the banking system upheld by taxpayers' money, the court system which upholds contracts. Every business requires the use of the commonwealth. That's part of the genius of America, and it's a progressive idea. The conservative view is a very different one based on a strict father family. It says that you have a moral authority, like the president, who runs things. He's the decider, period, and you don't question him.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, you want citizens who are sufficiently disciplined so that they social programs would take away their discipline. The idea of social programs is seen as immoral because it gives people things they don't earn, thereby taking away their discipline and taking away their capacity both to earn a living and be moral people.
And on that specific point, Professor, I was just reading commentary about last week, former President Clinton was kind of glowing on the 10th anniversary of welfare reform. And what Robert Scheer pointed out in his column is that he kind of just danced right past the fact that there are more women and children in poverty today than there were 10 years ago when he signed the welfare reform bill.
Not only that, but Clinton accepted the right-wing view of dependency.
Yes.
And what that means is something very evil.
And to put it in context, the amount of money involved in welfare at the time was relatively insignificant, particularly compared to all the money we've blown in Iraq. But it was blown out of proportion, as if they were echoing Ronald Reagan of the welfare queens driving Cadillacs, as if this was the most egregious problem confronting the nation domestically.
Yeah, it was almost nothing, actually.
Yeah.
And but the idea here is that when you help people, you help them to help themselves. You help them to get an education, to better themselves in all kinds of other ways. That individual well-being depends on the commonwealth. You can't start a business without using the banking system and the court system and the SEC, which allows the stock market to function. You can't start a business or do anything at all without the use of the commonwealth in this country.
Mm-hmm.
That is the central idea coming out of the nurturing parent family. Now, what does this have to do with freedom? Everything. The right wing claims that social programs make you dependent and therefore take away your freedoms, whereas progressives say the opposite.
Yeah, the conservatives want you to enjoy the freedom to starve, the freedom to live without shelter, and the freedom of your children to grow up in an unhealthy and supportive environment.
Exactly. Whereas Roosevelt talked about freedom from want, and you don't hear conservatives talking much about freedom from want.
Mm-hmm. Right. We're going to take a break and return. We'll go to the phones in the next segment, too. You can grab a line at 888-5-PETER-B. Professor George Lakoff is our guest. The new book is called Whose Freedom? The Battle Over America's Most Important Idea. It's out in hardcover from Farrar, Straus, Chereau, and it's a recommended read from yours truly, Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the best of Peter B. Collins, pre-recorded.
This is Laura Perneda of Perneda Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Perneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. right here on AM 540.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows.
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
Alan Kaplan, owner. And the Peter B. Collins Show continues 11 minutes away from the hour. There's a new song from Michael Fronte and Spearhead. It's called Yell Fire.
Never comes a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, they come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will build it tomorrow. Free peace, boots and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you through this hammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. Is a homicide bomber. TV commercial for a papa pill culture. Drugs companies suckle in like a vulture. Amaraki.
That's a musical litany of the freedoms that are challenged in the United States today. And you don't yell fire in a crowded theater. But we should yell fire in America today. We're talking with Professor George Lakoff. His new book is called Whose Freedom? The Battle Over America's Most Important Idea. And Billy joins us from Capitola. Good afternoon, Billy. You're on the air.
You guys are effing brilliant.
Well, thank you.
Really. I think the way I like to think of it is the concept of tribe, and if we could expand our definition of tribe, we'd get where we need to go. And now let me move on to the most important freedom. The one freedom that seems most under attack right this minute, that to me, when that one falls, they all fall, is the being free to dissent. And what that disgusting human being that the Secretary of Defense did the other day, what they're doing now with this thing where we're not supposed to, you know, we're Nazi lovers if we don't agree with George Bush?
Yeah.
What could be more dangerous than that? All the freedoms go when that one goes.
Well, and also to add to your comment, Rumsfeld chagrined that the enemy is able to offer deceptive messages that are embraced by the world. Has he looked in the mirror any time recently, Professor?
Well, this is something that John Dean has been writing about in his book, Conservatives Without Conscience. And it's something that's very different in the conservative world in the last 30 years, and in particular, especially in this administration. What I've called a strict father morality, that is the idea of a leader who's in charge, who's the decider, and where you're supposed to be disciplined and on your own, period, making it on your own in the market and so on. That idea can be applied in many areas. It can be applied in economics, giving economic conservatism. It can be applied in the social area, giving social conservatism. It can be applied in religion, where God is a strict father who punishes you if you sin against his commandments and with hell and so on. And it can be applied in foreign policy, where America is the decider who decides, you know, what other countries should be doing, and otherwise we punish them. Because, you know, third world countries are children. But what is interesting about recent conservatism is it tries to apply this to all areas. That is, where there used to be financial conservatives who were social liberals. Now what's happening is that they are being ridden out of the conservative movement. The conservative movement has to be pure conservative in all areas.
You refer to those people as biconceptuals, right?
Yeah, the people who were biconceptuals, like Goldwater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Goldwater was for civil rights.
Yeah.
He was a civil libertarian, but he was fiscally conservative and mm-hmm. conservative in foreign policy. But he was a liberal in terms of religious issues, in terms of dealing with the poor, in terms of all kinds of things.
More contemporary example is my friend Tom Campbell, who is dean of the business school at Berkeley now. He served in Congress, was fiscally conservative, but socially very liberal.
Exactly.
And there is no room for him in the Republican Party today.
And it gets worse than that, because aside from all policy areas, the current administration is applying the strict father model to governing itself. And that's a change. That is, Bush is in charge of the Republican Party in Congress. He's in charge of, what everybody in the administration should do. If anybody dissents or blows the whistle, they get fired. They get punished. This is an application of strict father morality to governing itself. And he can set the laws. He's above the law. He doesn't have to.
And I would suggest that if we allow it to go on, we lose all our freedoms.
That's right. We lose our freedoms in governance itself, as well as in every issue area.
The message is, it can crystallize into a single shut up and get in line.
And that
doesn't work with democracy.
Well, it doesn't work with democracy at all, and it also doesn't work in policy. You know, it doesn't work in the financial area. It doesn't work in foreign policy. It doesn't work, in case after case after case. But the question of what counts as working is interesting, because what we see as working comes from a nurturing model, from a progressive model
mm-hmm.
of what it means to have a progressive morality. And the other guys say it works by definition, because it is what is moral,
yeah.
Period. And that is the biggest problem that we have today. Those utterly different ideas that have been taken from the policy areas into the governance area.
What makes them think that Sharia law in America under Christians will be any better than the Sharia law is for the Islamic countries, which is clearly a failed, disgusting system?
Come on, it's your freedom for salvation, Billy. Have you missed that?
Thanks,
yeah.
Thanks for your call. Professor, just a couple of minutes remaining here, and I want to thank you for a powerful book. I have about 49 more questions drawn from the book that we don't have time for. But I wanted to shift for a moment to talk about the handbook that you and your colleagues at the Rock Ridge Institute have put together. We have a lot of activists and people who get involved in the political process who listen to this show. Talk a little bit about the handbook and how you hope it'll be utilized.
Okay. Well, the Rock Ridge Institute, by the way, our website is www.rockridgeinstitute.org, has put together a progressives handbook called Thinking Points. And it's everything you need to know about framing and about how issues get framed and how arguments are structured and so on. It will be published September 18th is the publication date. It should be in the bookstores about a week after that. And it's $10 retail. Might be even cheaper online, but that's cheap enough.
Yeah.
Paperback, about 160 pages, the biggest bargain you'll ever see. And it's also going to be given away online. That is, what we're going to do is, though it's cheaper to buy it than to download it, I think, and a lot easier, but we're going to put it online as a reference, and then the further work that we put online will refer back to it. But the major point of this is that at this point we start a national speak out network.
Mm-hmm.
Many groups around the country and individuals have come to us and said, we love your materials, we love what you're doing, we would like to speak out, but we would like to have some systematic guide to doing this, and we'd like to be put in touch with other people who are speaking out. We would like to be able to speak out in some systematic way, positively, around the country, because our, you know, our political party, the Democratic Party or the Green Party, doesn't have a way to systematically get its ideas, its positive ideas out there. They're always reacting to conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a way to get positive ideas out there all around the country through the grassroots. So within a few weeks, we're going to be starting posting parts of this, getting it up there. The whole thing will be online. You'll be able to get it, buy it a hard copy. We'll put new extensions of it as we come up, talking about new issues and the full range of issues.
Mm-hmm.
But the main idea is this is some place where you can go to if you want to form a group of people who want to speak out, and if you want help in saying, well, what does such a group do? How do you get into the media?
Professor, our time is up. I want to thank you for a powerful hour. Go to rockridgeinstitute.org and find out more about George Lakoff's work. The new book...
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Tom Hartman.
Tom DeLay had a blog, TomDeLay.com. After 75 minutes, he shut down his blog.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
But during the 75 minutes when his blog was wide open, here are the first responses. It's good that you're no longer representative. The stench of the 109th Congress will take a long time to fix. The next one says, didn't we already stick a fork in your butt and decide you're done? These are the nice ones.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. For many who walked quietly, footsteps echoing off the marble through the Capitol Rotunda, it was curiosity today. For some, a chance to closely witness history as former President Gerald Ford lies in state.
Before the Ford family gathered, President Bush and First Lady Laura Bush came to the flag-draped coffin and bowed their heads in silent prayer. And the first President Bush came in a few minutes later. Former President Bill Clinton and his wife, Senator Hillary Clinton, came too. And many ordinary citizens lined up to pay their respects.
I was a big Ford fan. He was my first vote in 76.
Ford is unique among American presidents in that he was never elected president or vice president. Bob Thaw, CBS. CBS News, Capitol Hill.
This just in, that missing Indonesian jetliner has been spotted in the mountains near Jakarta, according to an Indonesian Air Force commander there, and searchers on foot are on the scene. No word of any survivors, though many bodies have been found. The winter storm system that dumped 2-3 feet of snow on 4 states has moved out and is merely raining on the northeast now. In Colorado, as in Kansas and other places, Bill Benz says some people are stuck right at home, really stuck.
People can't get out of their homes. They can't get to the stores. Stores can't get employees out to work. It's a mess. It's probably going to take a week or longer to recover from this.
12 people died. Hundreds are in shelters. Scores had to be rescued from impassable highways, and they continue to look for others. The polar bear is on the list, not the endangered species list, but one just a notch lower. The Interior Department has made it official, with U.S. Fish and Wildlife formally proposing to put the Big Bruins on the threatened list. The worry is over a warming planet, that if the sea ice melts away, polar bear habitat will shrink and the bears might not survive. Who did the shooting? Who sprayed Darren Williams' stretch Hummer limo with bullets and killed him and injured 2 friends of the Broncos' cornerback? Police spokesman Sonny Jackson says there had been a rhubarb at a nightclub just before the gunplay.
The Denver Homicide Unit is looking at all the possibilities as to what transpired, who might have been involved in this. We're not sure that confrontation had anything to do with this particular shooting, but we are looking at that as a possibility.
It is so easy to promise the world to that person in the mirror today. Here's the thing. You are as good as your word. It's a two-edged cutting device.
I'm Heather Bosch in Seattle, where plenty of people are vowing to start the year right.
Stop smoking and go to the gym more.